G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Well, as we do on a Thursday, always like to touch base with Family Voice Australia. Greg Bondar is Family Voice State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Greg, a special welcome back to 2020.
Thank you, Neil, and welcome to everybody.
Hey, Greg, it's euthanasia. It's a number of different states are at different stages with euthanasia. Let's get a focus on Tasmania, though. Their bill passed the state's lower house last week. What are your thoughts on how things are happening in Tasmania?
Yeah, thank you, Neil. Look, the issue we've got here is I'm so astounded by the fact that the bill passed last week by a majority of 16-6 votes. Now, that is really disturbing because one of the things about this bill is that there was, in fact, a conscience vote, so which allowed MPs to vote along their personal preferences. Now, what worries me, Neil, is that if people do not have a conscience about killing babies, unborn babies, then we've got a real issue here in this country of ours, because quite frankly, and you and I both would agree to this, that you know, we agree that conception starts at birth, and that's the abortion debate. Now, if we get to the euthanasia debate, one of the things we've got to look at is that, you know, the elderly, the people that are sick or whatever, we need to look after them. It's a medical requirement. It's a medical obligation. There are all sorts of things that we can do, and you and I both know that palliative care is one of the major ways we can look after anyone that's thinking of euthanasia. So this is a real issue, because it's already in WA, already in Victoria, and it's coming to New South Wales now.
Okay, to become law in Tasmania, the bill has to go through the upper house again. It originated in the upper house, now it's passed the lower house, goes back to the upper house. Usually it's the other way around, but it's got one more hurdle. And I guess what the question we might ask here could be, you know, is there any way of, making any change or stopping the bill before it gets to that final stamp?
There is, Neil. What's happened is that the lower house made some amendments to the bill, and once you do that and send it back to the upper house for final approval, they have to re-debate it. So in other words, the lower house made some changes, it went back, and some of the questions that were raised, Neil, is really that the bill will allow things to take place under what's called telehealth. In other words, you know, this is a real issue for people saying, oh, look, I want to be euthanized, I'll just get on the phone, and a doctor will okay it. I mean, it's a real issue because actually there's a federal law that says you can't talk about on a carriage service about suicide. So what we've got here is there's a real issue about can I euthanize myself through a doctor's approval over the phone? Now, that's an issue. So that's something that was raised by many of the politicians.
Just pause there for a moment, Greg. Yep. It's the idea. This is just how stark this challenge when you talk about telehealth, because in past times, if people have felt suicidal tendencies, they might have picked up the phone to call Lifeline, and someone at Lifeline would talk them through that issue and hopefully save their life. And now what you're suggesting here is going through in Tasmania is the idea that you can pick up the phone instead of calling Lifeline. I think I'll call a telehealth appointment with a doctor and I'll get them to send through some pills and I'll be able to kill myself. That is just, it's a crazy situation.
Absolutely. And ironically, both Labor and Greens, who of course voted for the euthanasia bill, say in their debate or in their rhetoric, oh, this would never happen, you know, people wouldn't do that. Well, unfortunately, if people are depressed or lonely or whatever, and they get to that moment, they may just well do that, Neil, and we've got to make sure that they are protected. You know, so euthanasia is not a simple solution. I think the answer does lie in palliative care, and I think what we need to do is make sure that we still contact the Upper House members in Tasmania and say, please, if you've got a conscience, you surely cannot vote this bill through.
You've got a campaign about this on the Family Voice website. No doubt there's some ways that listeners who might feel particularly led right now to take some action here, and we're talking probably primarily Tasmanians because other people in other states, they've got their own battles with their own state governments too, but I'll point people to the Family Voice website, familyvoice.org.au. Check that campaign, and no doubt on the website you'll be able to find some action that you can take in being in touch with your MPs. Just quickly, before we move on from any of this though, the idea of conscience votes seems to be, I mean, we used to think of a conscience vote, oh, everybody will make the right decision and do something that's common sense. Conscience votes now have moved to a place where they're just a sitting on the fence or a likelihood of capitulating to what something that we might say as Christians is anti-Christian, immoral. It's changing, isn't it, Greg? Conscience votes aren't what they used to be.
Absolutely. Now, funny you should mention that, because on Monday night we had the webinar with George Christensen, the MP, who's introduced, you may well know, the Born Alive Bill. And we were talking to him about the fact that this is going to be a fairly controversial bill, in the sense that, you know, parliamentarians will have different view about born alive and abortion. But George made the point that what he's suggesting, that becomes a conscience vote, Neil. In other words, people should be voting according to their faith, belief, and of course conscience. So yes, it's become now pretty much par for the course for a lot of these private members' bill, or a lot of these contentious bills, Neil.
Okay, and just a quick whip around, and we're talking about Tasmania. Euthanasia. I know that in Queensland, they're looking to, short-circuit a framework and implement a time frame for their proposed assisted suicide laws. They're going to sort of hasten that in Queensland. And the ACT in the Northern Territory, they've joined forces, writing a letter to the federal government to demand that legislation be adjusted to allow euthanasia. So when we say that, we're talking Tasmania today, Queenslanders and people in the ACT and in the Northern Territory ought to also be in touch with their MPs. What are your thoughts about the urgency of this, Greg?
Absolutely. I mean, I have to tell you, we're looking at it very strongly here in New South Wales. We're going to make sure that every MP in New South Wales, upper and lower house, will be contacted. And I urge the same for Queensland, because quite frankly, you get this sort of snowball effect, you know. One state passes it, then another one sort of piggybacks onto it. We've got to make a stop. We've got to make a stance. And if we can get one state, Neil, to actually put up the hands and say, no, we will not have assisted suicide, then we've got a real win. But apart from that, we need to make sure that our politicians are aware of their moral and ethical and conscience that they have to have when they talk about bills like this. So, yes, I urge everybody to continue the good fight, Neil.
Okay, well, let's change direction. And I think what is very, very positive that's happening now, and listeners to our regular conversations each week might remember, we were talking just a number of weeks or about a month ago about Barnardo's and the way they had ditched the Mother of the Year award that they had hosted for many, many years. Mm. And you've got a special announcement. Greg, Family Voice Australia is doing something here to pick up where that's been left off.
Yes, Neil, I'm so pleased to announce that Family Voice will now, in light of the Barnardo's action, unfortunately, they're sadly no longer going with the award, we have decided to go with the National Mother of the Year Award. And the good part about this, Neil, is that we're going to have three awards. We're going to have the Young Mother of the Year, anyone up to age of 25, Mother of the Year, which is an open age category, and best of all, in some ways, is the grandmother of the Year Award, which will obviously be an open age as well, Neil.
That is just amazing. And let's just reflect for a few moments here, because Family Voice Australia, and, you know, you've got state directors representing states and territories all around the nation, different offices in different states, long, long history, 40 to 50 years, I think, the history of Family Voice Australia. And so a perfect fit for picking up on an award like this, which is going to recognise mothers, and it fits in so beautifully with the whole intention and the whole ethos of Family Voice Australia, Greg.
Absolutely. We're talking about family, Neil, and we've got to make sure from a biblical perspective, definitely, you know, we only have to look at Exodus 20:12 and Leviticus 19:3. We talk about honour your father and mother. Every one of you shall revere his mother. Look, there are constant references to the value that mothers make. And I have to make a point. I remember, because I did my Master of Education many, many years ago now. And in that Master of Education, one of the things that I learned was that it's still the mother that has the number one influence on the development of the child, and in particular on the family. So we need to make sure that this traditional movement to recognise the value that mothers make to family and the child is not left to lie fallow, you know.
Now, when we were talking about Barnardos and the way they had ditched the Mother of the Year Award, we were talking about the pressure that comes on organisations from the very sort of left woke pressure that comes in social media, and the idea of a cancel culture, and we're talking about the way that pressure comes on organisations, and we're a little critical of Barnardos at the time for ditching the Mother of the Year Award, because what's become now quite significant, Greg, is the idea that even the experts around the world have been having difficulty identifying a definition of what a woman is. And so if you've got a Mother of the Year Award, it's going to create an awful lot of opportunity for us to talk about women and to make that definition a biblical definition. What are your thoughts around the importance of an award like this because of the pressure that women are under right now?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, women, of course, we had the International Women's Day on Monday, Neil. So, and we put out a press release saying, you know, we totally support the concept of the International Women's Day, because it recognises the value of women, and in particular mothers. Now, one of the things that we've put in our criteria, now, this application is open to any mother, Neil. Now, but one of the things that they'll need to do is look at our terms and conditions and the application form. And we make the point, Neil, from a biblical perspective also, that we are talking about contribution to the traditional family. So in other words, the mother has to be part of a traditional family, in the sense that if the family structure, in our opinion, is made up of a man, woman, and one or more of their biological or adopted children. In other words, that's what we decide is really a traditional family. And so in that respect, if they meet those conditions, they are, well, you know, free to enter, and of course they'll be considered. Now, we open up, actually, Neil, applications open up on Monday, Monday the 15th. So we're looking for a lot of entries, but again, we're encouraging the young mothers, and in particular the grandmothers, Neil, that are often neglected to the value of the work that they do. I know, for example, Neil, if I may, today my daughter-in-law, and I'm a grandfather for the first time, in COVID last year, she's asked me, could I come and do some babysitting? And I said, oh, dear, you know, while she runs out to do some shopping. And here I'm grandfather, you know. So value of grandparents cannot be overlooked, Neil, just cannot be overlooked.
Absolutely. Monday the 15th, that's this coming Monday, the nominations will open. And so if for listeners listening in today, you know someone who is deserving of recognition in either of those three categories. And as you say, Greg, it's not just one Mother of the Year now. You've got the young Mother of the Year up to 25 years of age, Mother of the Year, open age, and I guess that's still the primary focus is Mother of the Year, but then also Grandmother of the Year. So recognising women at all of those different stages of life, just fabulous. So now let me just get some more nitty-gritty here, because –
Yes.
Your intention is to announce a Mother of the Year, and while you're only just announcing that this is happening, taking over from where Barnardo's has left off, there will be a Mother of the Year award coming up just a couple of months away in the week leading up to Mother's Day.
Correct. Our first awards will be announced on the week of Mother's Day, which is 9th of May this year. And I'm pleased to say that Vision Christian Radio is going to support us in our endeavours to make sure that everybody far and wide knows of the awards in terms of making a nomination. You can either nominate yourself or you can not, or be nominated. But also I'm pleased to say that Rex Airlines have agreed to fly the Mother of the Year to Sydney for a presentation, depending on where that person is, of course, you know. And so that's a really good news because, you know, no mother would have to feel that they've got to pay to come to Sydney for the major presentation. And also I'm pleased to say that the mothers, all three mothers, will be hopefully interviewed, depending on the schedule, on Vision Christian Radio, Neil. So we are so excited about these awards.
Okay, there's a preview. I didn't know that was coming up, but I'll expect to be able to talk to these wonderful mothers of the year. And look, you know, it is, you know, it's a an honour and a privilege, I think. And I talked about this around the office a little yesterday afternoon, knowing that we would talk about this today.
Yeah.
And a little bit of excitement there about the way that Vision is getting behind the Mother of the Year awards. And exciting to here too, you've got a sponsor in Rex Airlines and things are coming together. So this Monday is an important day. Nominations
yep.
open, and I mean, I guess there's going to be some creative ways that people are likely to nominate mothers or grandmothers or young mothers of the year. I don't know, is there a particular criteria that a listener could take away and say, I might just get in touch or I might nominate that particular mother?
Yeah, look, a couple of criteria very quickly. Of course, you need to be a mother of at least one child. We're looking for mothers that have made a contribution to their families. We're looking for mothers that have made a contribution to their local communities. We're looking for mothers that have had a positive impact at work, at home, at church, or indeed the Australian community. So there's some of the criteria that we are looking for. And hopefully, you know, we're going to get some real responses. My wife asked me to nominate her. I said, darling, that's not possible. And, and she said, well, that's okay. She'll nominate herself. I said, well, I'll have a look at it when it comes in. But, yeah, we're really encouraging mothers, young mothers and grandmothers, Neil, to please take advantage of this wonderful, wonderful award.
Fabulous stuff, Greg Bondar, and congratulations on getting that up and running. An exciting initiative, Monday nomination date, and of course, we'll look forward to the very first Family Voice Australia Mother of the Year, Young Mother of the Year, and Grandmother of the Year award to be announced in that week in the lead up to Mother's Day. You can find out some more details when you go to Family Voice website, familyvoice.org.au. That's familyvoice.org.au. You'll find those other campaigns, especially around issues like euthanasia that we were talking about as well. And there's a bunch of campaigns you've got going all the time, Greg. Just very quickly, you've got some webinars and such things. Anything else on the horizon listeners might need to know about?
I really would alert your listeners. We've got two very good webinars coming up. One will be on a youth forum, the challenges of youth in a secular society. And later on, we're going to have a forum from the Christian Doctors and Medical Association people about, do we take the COVID jab or don't we? Our Christian perspective on this. So that's coming up as well, Neil.
Fabulous stuff. Familyvoice.org.au to get some details. Greg Bondar is Family Voice Australia's State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Greg, thanks so much for the update today on 2020.
God bless, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.